Ho, ho, ho. Merry Culkin Keatmas. We are back into the swinging back to the Keatmas part of the celebration with 1992's Batman Returns, directed by Tim Burton, starring Michael Keaton, the man himself, Michelle Pfeiffer, Danny DeVito, Christopher Walken.
Yep.
Mac's dad from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Paul Rubens.
Paul Rubens. Yeah, Pee Wee Herman's in this.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to talk about it. We just did the live watch, which was interesting. We had a scotch so bad it almost killed Jim.
It almost did, yeah. So strong.
We've had some near runs in the Bald Moose studio. Last week, I laughed so hard at my fucking Frank Oz joke, I almost died.
Imagine if you had 50% whiskey in your esophagus at the time.
I'd have aspirated it. I'd been dead. I'd have been a dead man.
Yeah.
What did you think of Batman Returns?
I don't think this is a good movie.
Maybe
in 1992 it was passable, but in 2017, holy no, I don't like it.
Like, I remember when the first Batman was made, when it came out in, what, 89?
Mm-hmm.
It was hailed as like, and you know, this is after a long history of Batman being popularly known from the Super Friends cartoon show, from the Adam West Batman, and in between the comic book fans, like, you know, Frank Miller had taken and told much darker, the return Batman back to his kind of like dark roots. So there's disconnect between the popular conception of Batman and and it was seen as like this, oh yeah, getting back to the gritty, more darker side of Batman, Tim Burton doing this kind of gothic kind of Halloween version of Batman. But, man, the state of the art of comic book movies has really moved on from this.
Oh, man, yeah, it has.
The state
of the art of all movies, I would say. Like, this movie definitely has a style to it that's recognizably Tim Burton.
Sure.
And I can enjoy it for that. And there are some other reasons that I can enjoy it. However, I think there's a lot of stuff in here that feels extraordinarily dated.
Yeah.
A lot of the jokes... and this is the thing where, like, this is kind of a bridge between Adam West Batman and Christopher Nolan Batman, right? This is kind of somewhere in between that, but it's so cheesy while also trying to deal with these dark tones and dark themes that I just don't know where to place it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's popular conception. In fact, it's my popular conception that the Joel Schumacher Batmans were just an abasement of the character compared to the Burton before. And I honestly, I haven't seen the original Batman in a good long time.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen this one for probably 15 years. I have seen Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. I've watched Batman and Robin probably four times the last 5 years.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I know I watched it once with you, and then me and Sessa got the hankering to watch it, and then I remember watching it most recently because I was bored, and I'm like, I remember this being, like, almost good in a Batman, the Adam West series kind of way.
Right.
And and honestly, there's parts with, like, George Clooney and his butler Alfred that's, like, from a much better Batman movie.
Uh-huh.
And... yeah, I was completely wrong on that. That Batman and Robin is terrible.
You weren't intoxicated enough.
But honestly, I don't know why Batman Returns doesn't get thrown in that category, because it's pretty shitty. There are a couple of really good moments. Like, I really like the relationship between Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle.
Like, really? I don't.
I mean... it's the only time I can think of that... Batman has had kind of a believable relationship arc with the villain.
I don't know. I had some big problems with the way they set up their relationship.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean...
Which we'll talk about, but...
But that moment where they're dancing and they become aware of the fact that they're also mortal enemies for some reason, I thought that was a nice moment.
You mean the moment where she's having a complete mental breakdown and showing her true... lunatic nature, and Batman decides, hey, I should probably kiss her.
Are you talking about at the ball?
There are multiple moments like that. I could be talking about literally any scene they had together. Yeah, she's fundamentally fucked up, and Batman's, I get it. Batman is drawn to that. I understand it. And the Penguin, like,
he
understands.
We first see Batman. He is sitting and brooding deep within Wayne Manor, where the only light that reaches him is this carefully constructed series of mirrors that convey the bat symbol. Like Bruce Wayne's life is on hold until Gotham needs it. Like, that's the thing. Batman is a fundamentally fucked up character.
Yeah.
And Tim Burton's movies do, like, for, you know, for better or worse, they're the first ones that kind of, like, really delve into the fact that Batman is not normal. And, you know,
what kind of extra planetary moon mirror does Batman have going on to reflect that light back?
That's a hell of a good question.
Because I don't know where it reflected from. Off the clouds, maybe?
Right. Yeah. And
then onto his personal bat mirror.
Sure.
And then into his room. I don't know how that happened, but it happened.
Yeah, and no one asked questions about, like, what do you have this elaborate series of rotating mirrors on the outside
right.
of Wayne Manor? Like, what possible purpose could it serve?
They just think he's a very vain
what
person.
If Bruce is hosting a dinner party at his house, and all of a sudden it knows where he's at in the house, and just boom, bat. I like to keep up on what the Batman's doing. It's
right.
Like, if you had $1 billion, you wouldn't have. This is before Twitter, people.
But excuse me, and then he reaches into his fish tank.
Right. I got to go watch what Batman's doing on my big screen TV, and none of you are invited. Where do you want to? Before, actually, so we've given our opinion. This is a good point for our alcohol break.
Oh, right.
We are on the 21st day of the Merry Keaton Christmas. We are getting into rarefied airs. This is a blended grain, batch one, 50-year-old. So
50 years.
So what that means is the Boutique Whiskey Company has found a bunch of 50-year-old casks of scotch and have blended it to a place that they think is pleasing, and it's 47.7% alcohol. But this shit's older than my dad.
That smells pretty boozy.
No, not older than my dad. Shit. Sorry.
He's older than you. How
I
about
forgot
that?
I'm not 18 anymore.
Right.
But man, let's... It's just
smelling
let's try it out.
Pretty strong and boozy to me.
You know, I think the Boutique Whiskey Company is biased towards sweet scotches. Because, you know, obviously with a blend, they're trying to get a particular flavor profile. And this is another in the long line of really sweet, brown sugary, limited peat, limited smoke scotches. I like it.
Yeah, no, it's good.
I like it, but it's not really. First of all, it's completely anonymous, and it's got a really nice color. But it's kind of getting lost with all the other brown sugary scotches.
It's a shame. It's been 50 years to get here.
Yep, and I'm shitting all over it, or I'm actually damning it with faint praise.
How long did it take to make Batman Returns?
50 years.
Not 50 years. No.
Okay, so let's.
So a lot of people. This is a very divisive movie.
Is it?
Yeah, a lot of people hated it at the time, including Roger Ebert. He didn't hate it, but he gave it like 2.5 stars.
I remember going and being very excited to see this movie and being very disappointed because I was not prepared for. Like, how goofy the Penguin was and how kind of really dark and like unusually dark. I mean, like penguins eating the family cat as a baby dark. Children are being contemplated and murdered dark. But it's also kind of fundamentally ridiculous, like the plan that he has with the Order 66 he has with the penguins carrying the rockets and, you know.
And Max Schreck's suit.
The giant clowns, they're regular sized clowns with giant bobbleheads.
Right.
I just remember thinking this was not nearly as cool as Jack Nicholson running around shocking the shit out of people with his joy buzzer.
Yeah, the main objection seems to be how dark the tone is and creepy the movie is. And I find it to be anything but, honestly, because of the style. Like, I know there are dark themes in there. But I didn't find any of it to be particularly creepy at all.
No, I don't think creepy, but dark. Like I guess it's the tonal shift. You've got this like zany circus music playing.
Right, cartoonish characters, bad puns,
but
and
they're
weird jokes.
They're doing like this exact same plot given in the hands of like you know, Tim and like, what is it, Bruce Timm and Paul Dini, the Batman the Animated Series guys?
I don't know.
Like, you could tell almost this exact same story, this exact same Penguin origin story, and it would be freaking good because they would not betray it with all the Tim Burton-y bullshit.
Okay. Yeah. And yet, at the same time, like, Tim Burton's style is kind of a draw. I mean, a lot of people like it, myself included. I like stuff like Edward Scissorhands and Beetlejuice and, you know, the Tim Burton-y aesthetic.
Yeah, I'm not a Tim Burton hater for sure, mm-hmm. but I do think he can get a little bit much.
Yeah, and maybe this is not the right material for him.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think I really do like the Jack Nicholson mm-hmm. Batman.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was pretty good. This one was just, I think they let Burton... Maybe Burton decided that he already made, like, his definitive Batman version, so he wanted to kind of, like, experiment along the edges with it.
Yeah.
And, but, yeah, it's certainly not my Batman.
I think there's a lot of homage to, you know, the original Adam West stuff as well in here.
Yeah.
Just with all the bad puns
and
stuff.
The fish tank.
Right. There's
but also
a lot of
some
it.
Also some poking fun at that. Like, you know, Bruce Wayne puts his hand in the fish tank and flips the switch and goes into his little bat slide. And Alfred's mm-hmm. like, I'll take the stairs, sir. And then I said, watch Alfred beat him there.
Yeah.
And I'll be like,
almost.
Like Michael Keaton arrives at the floor and Alfred's a second later coming in from the wing. So it's like
the 70-year-old man beat him on the stairs.
Right. So it's like it's kind of nodding to that, but also poking fun of it. And
sure.
That's the thing. It winds up a lot in No Man's Zone, where it's too cartoony and confectionery to be a serious Batman film, but it's also mm-hmm. too dark and bleak and adult to be something that kids are going to have fun with. Like, my son would
sure.
fucking hate this movie.
Yeah.
He would hate it so much.
Oh, huh. Okay. Gotta say the music is good though. Danny Elfman,
yeah.
His Batman theme I really like.
One of his better scores.
Yeah. A lot of good work in there.
There's a lot of other like weird thing. Like, for example, in the first one, Batman's using his bat piston powered bat cable all over the time. Like there's
yeah.
several times. Batman takes the ladders a surprising amount in this movie. There's mm-hmm. a lot of Batman stalking around and climbing ladders,
yep.
which I found particularly ridiculous. Like, did you forget how to use your fucking grapple cable?
It truly is. I mean, there are so many things about Batman in this that are laughable after
yeah.
seeing, like, the Christopher Nolan version of it.
Right.
Like, where is his Morgan Freeman who's telling him maybe the silicone bodysuit is not the way to go
right.
for... an impenetrable bat suit.
Right.
Because I don't know if you noticed this, but later in the movie, he simply just grabs it and rips
yeah,
it right
just,
off.
It's just like a fetish latex job.
Right.
Like, this costume is not substantial at all.
No, not at all. And he doesn't seem to have his tools that he uses,
right.
aside from, like, a transforming car.
Yeah. He's got purple liquid.
Yeah, this blue purpley stuff that he throws at Catwoman,
and it does
is acid, because later on you see a burn on her arm, right?
Ah.
So and that's like she covers it up, like when they're making out or whatever,
right?
Because she doesn't want to be found out. But I did not know that Batman threw acid on people.
You
is
know
that
what?
A trick he picked up from the Joker?
Batman loves exploding people in this movie.
Oh,
Batman,
fuck yeah,
Batman
does.
Straight up murders two people in this movie and has
yep.
like a grim smile about it.
Yeah, the guy who is the fire breather.
Yeah.
He sets him on fire and he burns for like 30 seconds.
Right.
And then there's a guy that he...
Because I remember when it happened, I'm like, no, there's snow all around. He could just stop, drop, and roll. But then Batman proceeds up the street and you can see this guy on fire the whole time behind him. This man, maybe he's too stupid or no one properly taught him stop, drop, and roll.
Probably
but,
not.
But this guy is just on fire and burning
in
the background.
And then he shoves one guy. He lights the fuse on one guy's dynamite and tucks it into his belt and then shoves him into the sewer where you see him explode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he goes, ugh!
Mm-hmm.
And then confetti flies up.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucked up, Batman.
But, you know, in the first movie, Batman kills the Joker, which is not a very Batman thing to do.
That's true.
I don't know. It makes me.
I'm used to the Nolan stuff.
Yeah, it makes me feel a little silly for giving Batfleck so much shit for killing people in Batman versus Superman. I still think that's a fundamentally un-Batman thing to do.
Yeah.
But certainly precedent for it if you go back to the Burton canon.
It's true.
I also thought there was a lot of interesting in light of recent events. Penguin is running for public office, and he is all about the groping.
He
loves groping.
In fact,
the word groping is used several times by him to describe the actions he's having with the women and interns around him.
Yep.
Like, that is some rip from the headlines type shit, man.
I can't tell, because there's a lot of, like, offensive stuff in this movie, so especially as regards, like, sexist stuff.
Yeah.
And sexual assault and those kinds of things. And I can't tell if they're trying to make a point about all that or if that was just the climate of the time where those jokes were perceived as funny. Because at the end, the very, very end of the movie when Batman's driving away, he says, "Goodwill toward men." And then he pauses and says, "And women." Which to me is them trying to retroactively say all of those horrible sexist things we were doing to show how bad and stupid they are. But I never felt that way watching the movie.
Yeah, it is bad.
It always felt
saying,
like cringeworthy to me.
I'm trying to think, the people who really do the high-powered womanizing are Max Schreck.
Yep.
Which is also a little too cute, because Max Schreck is also the star of Nosferatu, which that's a Tim Burton kind of homage thing. And the Penguin. Like, Batman doesn't grope Selina. Well, he does, but it's consensual.
Sure. She's wanting to be groped.
And when he grabs her acid burn and she says stop, he does. So like Batman,
right.
Model gentleman as far as that goes. And Batman, he'll punch Catwoman in the face as readily as he does the Penguin.
That's true. Yeah.
So, you know, hashtag feminism there. But
although there's the fight scene where he punches her in the face and she turns around, "How could you? I'm a woman." And he
falls for it.
He goes for that. What the fuck, man?
You know, Batman, Batman, little sexist.
Yeah, I don't know. I've felt myself cringing several times during this movie going, "Oh God, they would never make a movie like that today."
Oh yeah.
And I mean, make a movie like that today.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, but on the other hand, in 1992 was the scene as progressive because like all the villains are these lecherous old men, literally.
Maybe.
That are taking advantage of the youth and inexperience of their female counterparts, and they're like one down, because there's like a lot of, like there's a lot of this Selina Kyle. She's a secretary, but she's a personal assistant, and she's a working girl, but she's not taken seriously, and she's used as a coffee. And then she also becomes like this avatar for feminine rage.
Yes, it's like this is the face of feminism when they show her like freaking out in her house and destroying everything that connects her to the color pink, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really weird and I think kind of gross scene.
Yeah.
Because that's not what feminism looks like.
Not in the year 2017.
Fuck no.
And that's the thing, like when I was watching it as a young man slash kid, like I don't know how I felt about it, because like that shit, first of all, I wasn't nearly as informed about social issues as I am today, but also like it just, I was evaluating on how it made me feel as a Batman fan.
Yeah.
It's hard to wade in and have an opinion on that, because I just don't know what the state of the art was at the time.
It just feels like a lowest common denominator kind of movie.
Yeah.
Like, har har, these are the jokes that everyone will get because they're stereotypically, I don't know, they're stereotypical jokes that people will somehow relate to. I don't know. They just don't make sense in 2017.
Yeah. And there's a lot of like attempts at broad comedy. Some of the things are like, there's a couple things I thought were funny and made good use of Danny DeVito's kind of comic timing and charisma. The weird Danny DeVito charisma he has, but a lot of it is just hard to get into because Tim Burton has just saddled him with so much makeup and so much body suit and so much he's difficult to look at with
he's
got eyes like a two infant buttholes that are in bad need of butt cream. He's got a mouth that looks like Gollum.
His butt also in bad need of butt cream.
He's got this honking schnoz and these these crazy fucking flipper things. And he's just a it's a hard thing to also hard to believe that this monster, regardless of what staged heroic thing he did as far as saving a baby from the sewer, would be embraced by society.
Absolutely.
But...
and half the time he's eating fish, dead fish.
Yeah, just raw dead fish. Uh-huh. And like his campaign staff gets to see the whole full Monty. Like he's he's there in his union suit, his filthy, filthy union suit and his filthy hair. And like, and even after he's been given the like the Max Schreck makeover, like they still haven't done anything with his hair and his teeth and his, you know, they put him in better clothes, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, there, I don't know how much he can do with Danny DeVito in this movie. but I got to say, like, he, to me, if there's a reason to watch this movie, it's Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Because he puts on a masterclass in comedic acting. He becomes the Penguin. I lose Danny DeVito and he's just the Penguin. And he is both, he's kind of scary in some ways, and I like, not in like the creepy ways that I think Tim Burton's going for, but in like the kind of maniacal ways. Yeah. That you expect of Batman villains, but he's also like got this comedic timing that is just perfect.
Like, for example, there's a one really funny scene where they're Catwoman and Penguin are having an animal eat off. Like Penguin goes to threaten this cat that's in the room, and Catwoman goes to get a bird out of a cage, and I think Michelle Pfeiffer puts a live bird in her mouth.
Probably
not, but my headcanon says that Tim Burton said go do it, and she said sure, why not. And like his reaction where he flops on the bed and kind of like does resigned depression is classic DeVito. It's like Always Sunny kind of shit.
Yeah, I mean, I see him just as, you know, his character from Always Sunny. I can't not see Frank, but And the Penguin is essentially Frank, right? If he had a different nose and some flippers.
That's true. And
he's a garbage person who lives under the bridge. He might as well be living in the sewers.
Right, right. This Penguin, I could buy him having a toe knife.
For sure. But the commitment from Danny DeVito, like when he speaks, when he's giving his speeches, he's spitting everywhere. He's just willing to go farther than any other actor to look truly fucking weird or gross or whatever he needs to do to get the laugh. And I think that's what makes him one of my favorite actors.
What'd you think of Walken in this movie?
He's kind of forgettable.
There's a couple points where he does some classic Walkening. And then there's also some interesting things he's doing as when he's, you know, cause the plot of this movie, if you don't know, is the Penguin and Max Schreck working to, the Penguin's ultimate goal is to kill all the firstborn members of Gotham's high society.
I think that's
or maybe the whole town. And Max Schreck's plan is to get this power plant, this nuclear power plant that has a whole bunch of waste problems pushed through development. And they kind of see eyed somehow. Like Max, I think, talks him into running for mayor because the mayor is the obstacle for him. It's honestly kind of muddy.
Okay, everything plot wise in this movie is a train wreck.
Okay,
like you have to freeze frame and rewind and close caption to get anything plot wise out of this movie.
Okay, how close was I? I mean, I feel like
you're pretty close.
I feel like that's the main thrust. I just didn't.
Well, here's the thing: like if you watch very, very closely, right, if you're not distracted by Michelle Pfeiffer going into the office and Max Schreck about to throw her out the window, you will find out that what he's trying to do here is get this power plant pushed through because it's not actually a power plant. What it is a quote-unquote giant capacitor to leech power from the overpowered power system of Gotham.
Ah.
So he's going to store up power. Now, for what purpose? They never say. And
he just has these lines like, well, what, you know, just more power. That's what it's all about. Like his plan
is denying that there's this power surplus so that he can get this power, fake power plant pushed through and steal the power for no explained reason.
Why does Max Schreck's logo like a coked up Felix the Cat?
Dude, Like, that, that's like my biggest question about Max.
Because he's like
Schreck.
An industrial magnate. He's a power co-collect. Like, why?
But
like,
he's more like importantly a department store owner.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He,
I mean,
oh, that's right.
All of those scenes, like the Max Carade, which is a pretty awesome name for a party, if your name is Max, it takes place in a department store, in his department store.
Okay. Okay. And he's also getting into power plant construction.
And I think he has other businesses. I think he's like a magnate. Yeah,
okay.
Like
so I mean, like, you know, that's a weird mascot for a department store. But
yeah.
Judging on a Gotham City where Atlas is shrugging on every fucking street corner or struggling with some
right.
fucking lever he's pulling for some goddamn unknown only to Burton reason, I guess it fits.
Or
I guess
the zoo.
It fits.
My God, the zoo.
Oh, that's a cheery place to take your children. Like, everything's fucked up. Like, these rich people have, like, these 18th century gothic rubber baby buggy bumper things. Mm-hmm. That they're everyone has that. Like, every baby is pushed in this... some kind of fucking monster prop.
Right.
You know, like it's all wolf boys being pushed around in these Jack Skellington wagons and
yep.
And everybody but it and it's weird is like everybody the fashion is distinctly early 90s, like super wide lapel, double breasted suit jackets with
pencil skirts for Michelle Pfeiffer.
With enormous shoulder pads.
Mm-hmm.
Men and women alike. It's but like everything else is very. Is that Art Deco? Like
an art? I think it's Art Deco.
A gothic
yeah.
Art Deco, though.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird. But it also it did. You know, these films did influence a hell of a lot. The like Batman the Animated Series, which is I think if everything's said and done, is my favorite version of Batman ever. Like that Batman, the Animated Series run. The first 3 years, like. You know, that Gotham City is recognizably from Batman and Batman Returns. The Batmobile is kind of an homage to that. The Danny Elfman soundtrack is certainly used in a title sequence. And that's how, like, my favorite Batman owes a great debt to the Tim Burton universe for even existing and then also for giving it its look and feel.
Sure. There's a lot of just weird stuff.
Let's talk about
Gotham,
you got
though.
A lot of questions. Let's talk about the plot. Let's spend some time.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about like Gotham itself, like the way it's designed, because there are a lot of problems as I see it with Gotham. All of the tunnels, the underpasses for bridges, are made for Batmobiles alone.
Yeah,
or bat boats
in the case of a sewer.
And the sewer system is just. I don't know if they overbuilt it thinking we're going to grow this city
right.
enormously. But
we're
it's
going
cavernous.
After Metropolis. We're not going right. to be content to be Gotham for long.
And yet they overbuilt their sewer systems and they underbuilt their cemeteries apparently because I don't know if you saw this, but so many gravestones, so many markers in that cemetery, they're literally buried on top of each other.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of other stuff that we could talk about in Gotham. That zoo is crazy. It's an
and also
the zoo,
which it's not clear to me whether the zoo is abandoned or not.
It is. I only know that from the wiki.
Okay, it's an abandoned zoo, but it's still loaded with clowns and penguins.
Okay, we have to talk about
was the zoo abandoned when the penguin was delivered to him? I forgot the whole thing. This is like some kind of mosaic. Like the penguin is some kind of mosaic Christ figure.
His 33-year...
He's put in the river, like the River Nile, in a basket.
On Christmas Day?
On Christmas Day, and then when we flash forward, it's 33 years later, which makes the penguin 33 and a half years old, which is canonically when Jesus is killed.
Right.
What the fuck, Burton?
I don't know what they're trying to do with that.
I mean, I'm certainly no Christian, but what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's the weirdest... You know, and I guess his flippers could be stigmata. Like what kind of... And I think that when...
Wow.
Doesn't he strike like a Christ pose when he dies, too?
I think he just falls over on his face.
Ah, well,
he
you
says,
know.
A drink of cold ice water. And
ice
then he
water. Yeah.
Flops on his face. Never makes it to the water until the penguins help him out.
And the penguin pallbearers, which are clearly... I'm not even sure if they're little people. I think they might just be full-size people in penguin costumes.
I mean, they're definitely taller than Danny DeVito. but that's not saying much.
Which Danny DeVito is like 4.5 foot tall?
Something like that.
Like,
yeah.
If he's like 2 inches shorter, he might qualify as a little. Maybe he is. Yeah. Is he a dwarf of some sort?
I don't know.
I honestly don't know exactly how tall he is.
He's short enough to look comically good next to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
How about that?
Right.
But I have all kinds of questions, or I had all kinds of questions
about
the
penguin.
Oh, he's
4'10".
No.
That's actually taller than I thought.
Huh. I don't even have a full foot on that guy?
No.
That's surprising to me.
Not even a foot separates you from the DeVitos of the world, Jim.
So, Danny DeVito, the penguin in this movie, his origin story is almost impossible to decipher.
Why?
Based on this film.
Really?
Yeah, so how do you think the Danny DeVito, well, let's stop calling him by the actor's name. How do you think the penguin learned English?
From the men that wear penguin suits that raised him.
Fair.
No, that's a solid question because there is no evidence that he has had contact with the outside world. So,
But there is, and you missed it because it's like...
No. He looks out through looking out through the sewer grates.
There are plenty of those scenes in there, but that is not where this man learned English.
How?
So, in the movie, trust me, believe me, this is in there.
All right, I believe you.
Batman, he sees this guy on TV, and he's like, what's this guy's deal? What's Penguin Boy's deal?
That's the other thing that I felt... Okay, I don't want to interrupt you. Let me add this to the notes. You continue.
Okay, so Penguin Boy, he sees him on the news and he starts researching him. And he finds out that there was a circus troupe, I don't know how many years ago, but quite a few years ago, there was a circus troupe where they had a bunch of freaks in their circus, as they call them. And one of them was a quote-unquote aquatic bird boy. And that the circus got shut down because babies were going missing at the circus. And there was one circus freak who got away, and they never were able to question him, and that is Aquatic Bird Boy. So it's implied that Penguin was thrown into the sewers, emerged from the sewers at some point. I don't know how he survived. The penguins helped him, but they never they couldn't have taught him English.
Right.
So he comes out of the sewer.
Penguins just essentially threw up raw fish into his mouth.
Basically,
he survived.
He put on the mantle what they put in the sewers, I guess. So he gets out of the sewer at some point. He goes and he joins the circus, where I assume is where he learned English.
And that's where he got all of his
where he understands modern
clown,
society.
Freakish clown people.
Where he
followers.
Met all of his, all of his followers who became the Red something
The
gang,
Red Triangle Gang.
Red Triangle Gang.
Right.
So there's, but then at some point, like, the circus gets shut down and he runs back to the sewer. So it's very confusing because he starts and ends in the sewer.
Okay.
But the,
like the movie
and well,
literally
metaphorically or and Batman discovers this, but it's like really hard to even notice.
Okay. Especially when you're doing a live watch and cutting wise.
The
one thing I thought that they were going to do, but they didn't, is I thought that Bruce Wayne would kind of be on board with the Penguin. I was waiting for them, and it looked like that was going to happen, and then it turns out that Bruce Wayne is just researching him because he's just something bugs him. But, like, from what Batman knows in the beginning of the Penguin, he and Bruce share a lot. Like, you know, they lost their parents from a very early age. They're both orphans. They're both tormented by it. They both have, like, you know, monstrous outer visages, like Bruce by choice, Penguin by birth. And I was waiting for him to be kind of intrigued and then through his detective work become more and more revulsed. Batman, he had some kind of Spidey sense, ironically, going off the whole time, some Batty sense. Yeah. And I thought that was a missed opportunity for them to actually have something and similar to like in the modern Batman, the arc with Harvey Dent, where, you know, Batman is maybe initially skeptical, but then does research and says, oh, you know, I like this guy. Like, I kind of wanted to see that, and I didn't get any.
I feel like it's kind of funny that you made the Spider-Man illusion, because this movie, I think, suffers from too many villains, much like Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
In that I think they could have entirely dropped Catwoman from this movie. I think you need both. In order to make Penguin's story work, you need Max Schreck, because he kind of takes him under his wing, and he's trying to... They're both, like, using each other.
Yeah.
Catwoman seems sort of superfluous to the overall plot of Penguin.
I think that's true, but I think it's just as fair to say you could dispense with the Penguin plot and just do like a one shot of Batman like doing conventional street level crime. Like there's this woman, she's got a grievance, she's a cat burglar, she's trying to save money towards some diabolical fiendish end that's going to target everybody with a Y chromosome, something like that.
Sure, but I was trying to get to like that idea of Batman and Penguin being similar.
If you wanted
to tell that story, I think you jettison the Catwoman stuff and you focus more on that. Because I got to say, even Batman feels absent in this Batman movie.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good long while before he even shows up.
Yeah.
And
then once he does, he kind of is only there to fight people. He doesn't have any like emotional attachment to any of the story, right, aside from Catwoman, which is kind of inexplicable to me because... Like, say what you want about the beauty of Michelle Pfeiffer, but this is Bruce Wayne here. He's no stranger to beautiful women.
Right.
I don't know why he's so enchanted by this woman who is acting absolutely batshit insane.
But I think that's the attraction. He sees her damage and sees it reflected in his own. And
what a life. How does that guy function?
I mean, poorly. That's the whole thing about it. Like, it's funny because I read Roger Ebert's review, too, and he goes, growing up, I always assumed it would be fun to be Batman.
Mm.
I never thought it'd be fun to be Batman, because I guess I grew up in the age of dark Batman, but Batman always seems like he sacrifices himself and any hope he has for a normal life and barely manages to hang on to his sanity with his no killing.
Yeah.
Like, Batman doesn't kill people because he doesn't think it's wrong. Batman thinks if he kills the first person, he's going to be like, fuck yeah, and he'll just be full-time Punisher mode. And he'll just kill, there's other, like, graphic novels that explore, like an old Batman who's taken over Gotham City with, like, these brutally efficient Batman robots that just enforce law and order, but it's a totalitarian state.
Uh-huh.
It's a fucking dictate. It's a fiefdom that's ruled by Batman and his ideas of justice and liberty, which not exactly the most liberal in the world, shall we say. And I think that's the whole attraction. And that's the thing that annoys me is that it seems like the only reason he is simpatico with Catwoman and hates the Penguin is because Catwoman's an attractive woman and Penguin's a twisted, disgusting man.
Yeah, I feel like there was more stuff to mine out of the themes, but they had too much going on in this movie.
Right.
I don't know. I definitely would have done things differently.
I'm trying to think that's one of the – I don't think Marvel ever does more than one villain at a time. They've done certainly more than one hero, but like I'm trying to think of a movie where there's been more than one real villain.
I don't know.
And they kind of faked it out with Iron Man 2 or 3 where they had the Ben Kingsley playing the fake Mandarin.
But shit, that must be the one I didn't see.
Yeah, well, honestly, both of those I think Iron Man 2 and 3 are kind of terrible, but you didn't miss much.
Yeah. I don't know. Where do you want to go from here?
So I talked about... There's a couple other really kind of like look and feel things I liked. Like there's a scene in where Michelle Pfeiffer's wearing these glasses and she's lit from below and it forms like the arches of her glasses, the shadow in her eyes forms roughly the eye shapes that she's going to eventually inherit as Catwoman that I thought was really... really pretty sweet.
Now I see why you missed the plot about the power plant, because that's that scene. You were distracted by Michelle Pfeiffer's shadows.
No, I mean, yeah, she's explaining like all these like different details, and I was like making jokes, but yeah.
Right.
What do we think about? I mean, yeah, it's so weird because of the two villains, they have to have the central connection being Max Schreck.
Mm-hmm.
But it also makes it kind of like an like Max Schreck has no idea who Selina Kyle or the Catwoman is.
Nope.
And why they're a threat to him until essentially she's kissing him with a stun gun and frying him.
Oh my God. Can we talk about that scene?
Do it. Yeah.
God, the power and light company of Gotham City must be run by the same person who runs the waste management systems, because they have put electrical transformers in their sewer systems.
Uh-huh.
In their fucking sewer systems. Let's take the thing that we don't want to get wet and put it in, like, the wettest place in Gotham. What the fuck? They have some really wrong-headed ideas about how to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole city is a fucking nightmare.
The dramatic irony of Max Schreck being electrocuted by the very thing that he's, like, you know, it's like, it's... Again, if you put your writer's hat and your director's hat on, it is kind of clever the fact that he, earlier in the movie, is like, there's no such thing as too much power, and
right.
then he's literally killed by excess amounts of power.
Sure, I like it, but in, like, the most non-subtle, like, smash-you-over-the-head kind of way, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, not many people accuse Burton of being subtle.
They just, if this were 2017, they would have Kanye playing over that.
Yeah. The other thing is, like, I've heard people sometimes throw Michael Keaton into, like, the best Batman competition, like, you know, like, or they'll say, well, maybe he wasn't a great Batman. I've seen it argued both ways, but he's an excellent Bruce Wayne.
Ooh.
I don't see it, because what I noticed watching this is Michael Keaton has this working class Bruce Springsteen kind of Jersey, New York,
yeah,
blue collar charm to him. And he brings that sensibility to Bruce Wayne, who is many things, but he is not blue collar. Like Bruce Wayne, he's a billionaire playboy and he doesn't take things too serious, but he is a blue blood through and through. He's mm-hmm. born into greatness. He's born into money, and he wouldn't have this kind of, like, hey, I'm walking here kind of affect
right.
that Bruce is bringing to the table vis-a-vis Michael Keaton. So I don't get thinking he's a great, because I don't think he looks great in the suit. There's something about his face where he gets this, like, very duck face.
It's, like, pinched, yeah. His pinched mouth.
The mask is too tight. It makes his mouth makes his mouth pooch out or something. I don't know, but it's not.
No,
it's
I
not
mean,
great. It's not fucking Adam West,
right?
Who's you know, 11 pounds of shit poured into a 10-pound Batman costume with comically small ears,
one.
And his cape doesn't even cover his ass, and, like, you know, like, okay, fine.
No,
he's better than that.
There's no arguing. Christian Bale is the best Batman, period. Hands down.
You don't like Batfleck.
Fight me if you want to, but yeah, Christian Bale is easily the best Batman.
Best Bruce Wayne?
Yes, that too.
You don't like Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne or Batman?
I think, I haven't seen him given any good material, though.
I think Ben Affleck,
he
when
can
all
pull
is
off
said
the Bruce
done,
Wayne. I don't really care for him as, like, thick Batman.
I wonder. I don't mind thick Batman. I like the, like, you know, very muscly, and, you know, especially because he's playing an older style, kind of like a Dark Knight style Batman. But, like, I wonder if we'll, looking back, see Ben Affleck as kind of like the Pierce Brosnan of Batman's,
right.
where he's
good,
like,
for the role, but bad
great
material.
For the role, but he is never given something to shine in. And it sounds like he, after the Justice League crater, he is actively trying to get out of all of his future Batman entanglements. So we'll never get to see him have a standalone. But yeah, like, I guess that means that Christian Bale wins by default, because I never thought he was a great Batman. Like, the
suit does
most of the work.
I don't know. I mean, Christian Bale, to me, conveys the pathos of Batman more than any other character.
Yeah,
or more than any
Bruce
other
Wayne.
Person who has played Batman.
And then, yeah, like, I mean, obviously, this is the high water. This is the best. That's that trilogy is the best Batman.
By a mile.
Yeah.
I mean,
which is kind of shocking, because Batman is my favorite comic book character, even though I'm more of a Marvel guy, and also there's a voice that I've just become aware of screaming in the back of my head, like, what about Wolverine? You fucking love Wolverine too. Like, Batman and Wolverine are my two favorites, but I think Batman's always kind of an A1, because I liked him before I even knew who the fuck Wolverine was.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm surprised there's not more good Batman. And I've actually come around on the Adam West Batman. Like, that's just brilliant satire, and it's very funny.
Absolutely.
Every time I watch old Adam West Batmans, I have a great time, and they knew exactly what they're doing, and they did it well. That you can't say about Schumacher. I think the first, like, my recollection of the 89 Batman is that it was a pretty good Tim Burton Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
It's definitely better than this. Batman Returns is not as good as Batman.
Honestly, I think I like Batman Forever better than this.
Oh, fuck. When's the last time you watched Batman Forever?
A while back.
Me
while
too,
back.
But...
But I like Val Kilmer.
It is meant to be a joke as well.
Like, Val Kilmer, pretty good Bruce Wayne.
Nah.
Pretty good Batman.
I don't know. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen Val Kilmer as Batman, but you know, I don't remember it well.
We are well on our way to being halfway done. Like, we could do like we could do a podcast for all the Batman movies with like three more podcasts and be done with
That's
it.
True.
And then we could be the we could be the recognized experts on bat bat cinematography.
Where did Penguin? Why does Penguin hone in on umbrellas as his weapon?
I mean, the answer is because that's the iconic Penguin thing.
Right, but what in his backstory made him? Like, do you know anything about the Penguin beyond what this movie tells us?
No.
I mean, I'm certain you know more than that about the Penguin, but why umbrellas?
I don't know. I don't know.
I really love the scene where they say something about, like, inherit your birthright or something, and they shove a cigarette holder in his mouth, and he spits it back out.
Right, because
I really love that.
Yeah, yeah, because that's like going back to the Meredith Burgess.
Yeah,
Burgess Meredith Penguin. I don't know. I always understood that like the Penguin is like a frustrated high society kind of gangster guy, and like you know he always wears like refined clothes and whatnot. But in this movie, like, it's weird because they've got the umbrellas and they got the, but everything's so shabby and like sewer chic that the up and then they got
sewer chic.
They got good explanations for that because he was born in a high society and he was rejected because of his mental and physical deficiencies. Or
no,
I guess actually, psychological deficiencies.
I really, really like this incarnation of Penguin.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's just because Danny DeVito does such a crushingly good job at it or if there's something inherently more interesting about a fucked up, deformed supervillain than just like a guy in a suit with umbrellas spinning around smoking a cigarette.
Right.
But yeah, I really like this version of him.
It's very close to... Did you play a lot of the Batman video games?
Not a ton of them, but some of them, yeah.
It's like very Arkham close to Asylum. The kind of the realization of the... I mean, he's a much more serious character in the Batman and video games. The ones that are made by, was it Rocksteady? Is that what the name of the publisher? Because there's been a lot of Batman video games.
Yeah, I don't know.
For example, 1989's Batman, based on the original movie, was fucking sweet. That's one of my favorite NES titles of all time. It's like a very Ninja Gaiden Batman. You could like do wall flips and claw.
That
and, yeah, that's a good one. If you got an emulator, you should check that one out. What else do you want to talk about?
I mean, I have a lot of other questions.
Yeah, keep propounding them.
I mean, I still don't know what the ultimate plan with this massive capacitor is with Max Schreck.
More power. He's essentially Tim the Toolman Taylor.
To what end?
With unlimited resources and financial and political and social capital.
Like, my only guess is rapid discharge. Like, when you think of capacitors, you think of massive, sudden discharges of power, right? Mm-hmm. A super weapon? That seems very, like, super villainy to me, if he were, like, saving up all this power for a super weapon.
But there is no hint of that.
No, there's not.
And there's also no, like, what is his endgame on that? Like,
they don't even try to explain it in this movie.
Yeah.
They simply say, here's something that sounds evil.
Right.
He's doing that.
Right. Like, if he was going to use his political connections to decommission a bunch of power plants and then, like, corner the market that he's, like, now stolen, but they don't...
Right.
They don't...
I could understand it, but...
I could give a half dozen possible reasons he's doing it, but the movie is not really interested in that.
No.
Don't you think the cops... I feel like Batman in this iteration has made the Gotham cops lazy.
Oh,
because
easily,
the Red
yeah.
Triangle Gang is essentially a couple of goons running around with submachine guns.
Mm-hmm.
They
immediately fire up the bat.
They
signal.
Immediately fire Batman. There's no attempt. Gotham doesn't have a SWAT team. Apparently, like
nope.
Batman has to. It's like the rule is if these guys are wearing funny costumes, call Batman.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether like in this fictional universe, if there was a dude dressed as Spider-Man crawling a building illegally as a base jumper or whatever,
yep.
They'd call Batman.
They would.
It seems like the cops maybe over rely on Batman.
And I think there's a line in the movie about that too. I think somebody mentions that in passing.
Okay. Well, that's good that they're aware of it.
Yeah. With the Penguin, why did he identify as like, why did he decide to take on the duck as his mode of transportation?
It's perplexing, especially when they have this scene where they very clearly make sure that you're aware that the the Penguin is slowly coming through this like manhole cover with this baby.
He's riding the duck up.
He's fake rescued, but it delivers them all the way to floor level. And if you know anything about rubber ducks, you know that their head is like 2 foot above where his feet could possibly be.
And there's no duck to be found at that point.
No. So what happened to... it's not the first and last time. Like, whoever designed the Naboo Starfighters did not account for astromech design. Because, like, the socket that R2-D2 is loaded into can clearly not accommodate him. It's not deep enough. It's not wide enough. Like, it's just is like a disembodied head floating out of the socket. Like, you know, pretty sloppy design. This version of Batman is guilty of the same thing.
So the Penguin decides, hey, he gets this list together, right? He comes up, starts researching, and he gets this list of names together. Of the firstborn sons in Gotham, I guess.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, after he's compiled this list of names, Max Schreck comes to him and says, we're going to make you mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets on that train for a while, and that doesn't work out, so he goes back to the list of names? Am I interpreting that right?
I think, that you're supposed to understand
society
that,
rejects him. He was
Penguin
looking...
Penguin was using Max Schreck to get these names. Then Max Schreck dangled the mayoral race in front of him, and Penguin started to get a taste of, like, actual acceptance by society and the, you know, a back burner, to say the least, the plans. But it's not ever clear, like, if he won the race, would he not murder all the firstborn? Did Batman inadvertently cause this crisis? Like, obviously Batman can't stand a corrupt mayor stealing an election.
Sure.
But, you know... In a town where Batman... Batman is essentially the ruler of Gotham City.
Yeah, he is.
He can put his thumb on the scale of any election. He can, you know, oppose single-handedly both the criminals and the police. He's also the wealthiest. Like, he's the power behind the power.
For sure. Yeah, so I guess Penguin just decides, well, they rejected me, so...
Yeah, I feel like that he was... And then maybe that's something that Max Schreck deliberately did. He's like, I need this guy to be controlled, and I need a puppet for a mayor that'll rubber stamp my shit, and I don't want him killing a firstborn, so I'm going to prop him up at this mayoral race. If it wasn't for Batman doing... Oh, by the way, fuck you for having Batman scratch a CD.
Oh, right.
That whole... Oh, man.
It's really stupid.
It really dates the shit out of the movie. And also...
It does. Also, it doesn't work like that.
Why does Batman have a Batman-branded CD player? Like, that's back to the old Adam West shit, too,
For sure, yeah. I mean, this is all, like, homage.
Right.
It's a tip of the hat.
That's one thing I like about the Nolan Batman. Like, he's got a bat on his chest because, yes, he's got batarangs and whatnot, but... You know, his fucking Batmobile doesn't have a Batman license plate. His Bat computer doesn't have, like, Batman. Yeah. Instead of a Windows key, it doesn't have a Bat key. And, you know, he doesn't take it too fucking far.
It's true. Yeah. He takes it a little more seriously.
That skyhook plane doesn't have a Bat logo on it. It's, you know, it's...
So the plan with the Penguin goes badly to be mayor. He doesn't become mayor. And then he goes to kill all the firstborn. So he says, "I'm Pied Pipering them. I'm leading these kids to me in order to kill them all." Which is manifestly untrue, because he has his goons going around the city in a train with cages for cars.
Right.
Going inside the houses and plucking the children out of bed and sticking them in his train. There was no Pied Pipering involved.
Right.
Batman foils that plan off screen. We never fucking see how Batman stops that, but he does. He's set up with the Joker problem of trains all over the city, and yet he somehow manages.
I thought there was a scene of him putting the kibosh on the because it was the monkey organ grinder guy that was the conductor of the train. I remember, like, him turning around, his eyes go wide as something happens, but I don't...
That's what I mean. I think it cuts there.
Oh, okay.
I think it's off screen, so we never really see it.
Batman shows up, fuck shit up.
But he beats up one train conductor.
Yeah.
The others are still out there, spread across the city, as Penguin says, snatching up children.
Okay.
The plan's gone bad, and then he enacts stage two of his plan, which I quibble with as being, like, an actual plan, because this is clearly... It's both... unnecessary if you think that your first plan is going to go off,
right?
To get the kids, because you're bringing them to you and you can just kill them, dump them in the sewer.
Dump them in the sewer, like you said, yeah.
But the backup plan here seems to be penguins with rockets on their backs who are going into the city square in Gotham, like the central hub, for some unknown reason why you can't launch rockets from somewhere else.
Right.
Why are all the penguins converging in the same place to launch rockets to kill 100,000 people? Right.
I mean,
right.
And there's like this ridiculous scene of him addressing the penguins, like in this big Colosseum kind of setting, and his like penguin lair in the sewer, and like that's where like I didn't bat an eye of the penguins teaching me English, because apparently the penguins can be, you know, motivated by arousing rah rah kill everybody speech. Like, who is the target of that speech?
It's them, I guess.
Yeah.
It has to be them.
Fucking pay, and they love it. They love it.
They eat it up.
Except for they have, like, mind control helmets on, too.
Something like that, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there you go. Like, you can cover a lot with just saying, well, the penguin's a psychopath. So, like, all the shit that doesn't make sense is just him being crazy.
That's possible. Mm-hmm. The thing that I like the most about his hideout is you can clearly see when Batman's driving into it in his boat and he's got the radar going.
Yeah.
He sees... I think he sees like penguins swimming in, and then he sees the seal with a ball on its nose as like the topper.
That's where he's going to. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He's headed right there. So presumably this is the seal enclosure.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But if you look at the ceiling, there are orcas painted on the ceiling, which, as I recall, are notorious seal eaters. Yes. They're fucking torturing these seals more than any SeaWorld shit has ever happened.
Or is that just like some Oceans of the World type mural painting?
What if I went in your house and I painted spiders all over the ceiling?
I wouldn't like it. I'm afraid of spiders.
Right. And what if I told you had to live here because this is where you live? And every year we're going to come in and paint more spiders.
Do you think seals are afraid of pictures of killer whales?
They have to be, right?
I don't know. Like, do seals recognize their own reflection?
I don't know.
That's the thing. Like, animals just fundamentally process the world differently than we do.
It's true.
But
I feel like the humans were trying to torture the seals.
Okay, that's fine.
With paintings of their mortal enemies.
You can keep that head canon. Oh, man, there was something I wanted to say about these damn penguins, and I've forgotten in my mind being melted by your orca seal torturing device. Oh, what about the sea? Okay, so the penguin builds everything from stuff that he gets from the sewers, because like they establish that he doesn't really have money. I guess a triangle gang robs things too, so it's not on everything. But like, what's the background from him? How do these freaks know how to hack the fucking Batmobile?
Right.
And then how did he set up a scale model carnival ride attraction of the Batmobile that he can then remotely control? And he does the worst job of causing mayhem with the Batmobile. Like, you know, that's the whole thing. They're framing Batman. Like, and that's the funniest thing, is they find a Batarang that killed the Miss Winter Gotham deal. And, like, everybody, you know, Commissioner Gordon is, like, trying to stem the tide of anti-Batman sentiment. But, like, oh, you know, we don't know. We're investigating. But this, them taking over the Batmobile and running over old ladies and stuff
looks pretty bad for him.
But he's pretty ineffective. He has control of the Batmobile for several minutes, and he doesn't manage to even kill one civilian.
Yeah, that's true.
Batman does run
legs
over a couple people, yeah.
But I don't think he killed anybody.
No, it's run over in the same way the one replacement captain runs over someone in Airplane, the movie. Like, yeah, sure, they flip over to Batmobile, but I don't know with lethal force.
Yeah. No, they're fine. They're a couple days in the hospital.
That old lady would have got hers, but Batman manages to... also, Batman can punch through the bottom of the Batmobile?
Yeah, well, I mean... it's just not as heavily armored.
I understand it doesn't have its like steel iron curtains like this. You know, it's
could
not...
you punch through the bottom of your Vibe?
No, no. Maybe in another 100,000 miles
tried?
In a couple more Midwest winters, I could. Because I have driven a car. My dad's 1970 whatever Datsun. Uh-huh. Holy shit! No, it actually the floor rusted out. You could see the road going by.
God, that's terrifying.
Driving that thing, yeah.
I would just be worried my seat was going to drop down.
Or if you get in the wreck, it's just going to turn into a molecular cloud of oxidized steel
along with yourself
and chunky salsa. Yeah, that used to be your body. But yeah, no, I again another 100,000 miles, and a couple more Midwest winters. Maybe, but not now.
Well, Batman has a pretty good punch. His six-inch punch is
powerful. He's got peak human strength.
He does. You want to know the most disturbing thing to me in this movie?
What's that?
It's when Catwoman has Bruce Wayne pinned up on the rooftop, and she leans down and she licks his mouth. That's not the most disturbing part of it. The most disturbing part is that Bruce then licks his own lips.
Right.
Licking her spit off his own face. It's really fucked up.
If you don't think that he doesn't derive sexual pleasure from a Catwoman tying him up and whipping his bare ass, then you don't know Batman.
Oh, for sure.
So, like, yeah. He's in full-on yes, mistress mode that whole scene.
Yeah.
He's clearly intrigued by what she's offered. Also, I've seen Batman. The first movie, Batman's suit deflects bullets. Mm-hmm. This movie, with her fucking weird-ass needle thimble fingers, she's able to, like, that's her favorite move. She just pokes into Batman's chest and vital area and always gets, you know, strikes home.
After groping him, by the way. She's always just, like, making constant boner jokes. And...
Sure, yeah, but Batman's all about it. He's her dirty little piggy, and he wants to be used and abused.
I find it funny that there's a lot of weird stuff about Catwoman, like how she dies and turns into a ninja somehow. Like, this is Tim Burton. This is the movie you make when you've seen The Crow one too many times or something. Like,
I kind of like the design of the Catwoman costume.
Yeah, it feels very homespun.
Yeah. Yeah. But also iconic. Like, it's something a Catwoman would wear, absolutely.
Okay, I can see that. Does she have a tail? I can't remember if she has like a tail.
No, she does not.
Okay.
That would be stupid.
What? Like Halle Berry with a tail is stupid? Come on.
Does she have a tail? I've not seen a Halle Berry Catwoman.
No, I haven't either.
Okay. Is Batman even in that movie? And if not,
probably not.
Okay.
No.
Well, later, do we have, if we do the entire Batman catalog, do we have to watch Catwoman?
We have to at least make sure that Batman's in it before we watch it.
Okay. That's true.
Yeah.
Because if not, it's just bad adjacent.
Right.
I
do find it kind of annoying that Batman has an opportunity to bring Catwoman to justice and to haul her ass in, and he decides not to.
When?
He's got her on the rooftop where she throws him off. I think it's that same scene where they're kissing or whatever,
mm-hmm.
where he licks his lips. Yeah. And they both get thrown off the rooftop at one point or another. And then he pulls her back up, and he's got the opportunity right there to arrest her and haul her in, but he instead decides to fly off and buzz the crowd. He doesn't go down there to help them or save them.
Mm-hmm.
He just kind of buzzes the crowd.
Oh, that's where he gets framed for the murder of the Winter Festival Queen.
Right.
Okay.
Right before Penguin takes over his car.
Okay.
And he doesn't. He just flies off.
Well, you know, he had a bat boner that he didn't know what to do with. And that thing was like folded up, according up in that unyielding latex foam rubber, and he was having like he might have a broken little bat if he didn't do something.
I can understand now why Christian Bale's Batman is so serious, because there's nowhere for it to go.
No,
in those metallic pants.
No, you got to decide.
Morgan Freeman did not measure him in all the ways that would be required.
No. You got to decide which way you're dressing, and you're stuck there.
Yep.
There is no bat ball adjuster or something.
that device you're talking about that controls Batman's car is called the Bat-O-Ride, by the way.
The Bat-O-Ride?
Yeah, and it's in a font very reminiscent of like the old Adam West type stuff.
All right.
Kind of funny.
So you're saying in this universe, Batman is a hero of Gotham City. Of course, children would have a ride themed on the Batmobile. So Penguin didn't build that. He just repurposed it.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. That makes more. He like slapped an iPad on it that allows him to control the Batmobile and is having a good old time.
Yep.
Okay. That makes sense. As far as anything in this movie makes sense. Yeah.
What else do you want to talk about?
I think I'm Batman now.
Oh, one more thing.
Okay.
And then we'll leave this. Max Schreck's son, Chip Schreck, is a fucking train wreck in this movie.
Yeah, he might have some I think that's a deliberate thing. Is like,
yeah,
the Penguin is smart but psychotic, and physically deformed. Max's son is physically perfect, I guess. Like he looks like the dude that played adult Wesley Crusher when Q turned him into a man, if that makes any sense. But he does. He speaks like he's got some kind of.
They might be the same person.
Kind of damage up in the head, like. And I wonder like that's something Burton's like, you know, like a outward physical deformity versus inward physical deformity. That these like blue bloods are all inbred kind of weirdos anyway. Because Max Schreck is essentially Count Orlok from the fucking Nosferatu. And he's got sunken eyes and his crazy bowl-shaped haircut, and he's Christopher Walken. Mm-hmm. Strikingly young Christopher Walken, too.
There's a lot of, I feel like, similarities between the Penguin's look and the vampire's look in Nosferatu
well.
Like nose specific.
Yeah, collar.
Yeah, that kind of thing. The hunch. Teeth.
Crazy gross teeth.
Yep.
Eating possibly alive things.
I've got an alternate theory.
Okay.
And it's tinfoily as hell.
I love it already.
I think what's happening here is this is some ill-placed, elaborate reference to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, you mentioned...
His accent could be seen as vaguely Austrian.
Okay,
you really stretch it.
And he's kind of a beefcake.
So he's a former bodybuilder.
Ah.
He is, in fact, a former bodybuilder. And we know that Arnold Schwarzenegger later goes on to play Mr. Freeze, Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
But Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger have They have starred together in Twins by this point.
Yep.
So...
You think this is Danny DeVito's shot at...
here's the weirdest thing. I think in the background of one of the scenes at Max Schreck's office, you can see a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger with Max Schreck. It's a framed picture on his wall. It's really hard to tell because it's blurry, but it looks like...
It wouldn't surprise me because
Arnold was still
really involved in the bodybuilding scene.
Right.
Like, he wasn't so far removed that he probably didn't still know competitors and whatnot. Uh-huh. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if these guys were competitors at one point.
Yeah, could be.
I've never known a bodybuilder that does not fucking worship the ground that Arnold Schwarzenegger lived in. So
I mean, he built modern bodybuilding. The guy.
Like, even now, like, if you go to any kind of, like, Gaines subreddit or whatever, every other fucking week there's a picture of, like, look at, you know, because Arnold, he was a fucking genetic freak.
Yeah, he's the most physical specimen,
believe that. I've spent hours podcasting elaborating those theories. If you go back far enough into the archives to justify why Arnold Schwarzenegger is the greatest action hero of all time.
Yeah. So I think there's some Arnold Schwarzenegger illusion thing happening here.
Okay.
But it's dumb because his kid is just so dumb. So dumb. Max Schreck is dumb too. Mm-hmm. Max Schreck, when he's in the thing, he says, "Bruce Wayne, why are you dressed up like Batman?
Uh-huh.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
You idiot. How did you get this high in society being this dumb?"
Because he is. Like I'm saying, it's interesting from as a person living in 2017 to watch the political commentary of Batman Returns and then this do some like substitution for names.
Yeah,
and personalities and visages and how well it holds up. So
that's all I've got.
That's all I got too. Merry Culkin Keatmas, everybody. We've got not but a lunch and a. We got not but a the secret present, the one that this is. You know, you got your mom and dad. They bring your presents. You kind of know what's going to be, but you always got the Santa present.
Yep,
Santa's a wild and crazy guy. Who knows what he'll bring. That will be posting on Christmas Eve-ish for your enjoyment for to get you through the holidays till we come back and start doing the Baldy stuff. Because we're going to be taking a couple weeks off.
Yeah.
Merry Culkin Keatmas. Hope you guys have enjoyed it so far. One more present to unwrap. Until then, I'm Aaron.
I'm Jim.
See you then.